Who helps get all of this? Building's ready, stays right by me by day and by night, the 2 weeks of preparation. And he works and works and works and works day and night.
Yes.
Help us to get things ready. I don't know what I'd do without him. And yet he's a great student of the Word. He does a lot of fasting and praying, studying the Word. And I'm glad that God's let him stay here and help out like he has. This is Brother Paul Ragland. We'll bring our next message. You pray for him while he brings it. He's got something to tell you that'll help you.
Let's bow our heads now as we go to God's throne of grace and prayer. You haven't told the Lord that you love him today. Why don't you tell him now how much you love him? Appreciate him for what he's done to you and for you, and what he's preparing for you now in glory. Father, we come now with humble hearts to thank you for saving us. We thank you so much this evening for the power and the presence and the purity of the Lord Jesus Christ. And how we pray now that your Spirit will shed abroad the love of God in our hearts. Fullness of your Spirit to the running over, that it'll honor, glorify, and exalt your Son and our living Savior. Pray now you'll magnify your Word. You'll edify your church, but most of all, glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. We praise you for it in Christ's name. Amen. If you have your Bible with you this evening, I'd like you to turn with me to the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah, the first chapter. There I want to read the fifth verse, using it for our text this evening. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5. Before I formed thee in the womb, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. And I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Now I want to speak to you this evening, or this afternoon, on this theme of sanctification. Now, when you begin to study your Bible, you only have two themes in theology. That is the sovereignty of God and the free will of man. Any subject of theology you study is going to come in those two areas. I want us to look at this thing of sanctification. You see, holiness has to do with purity. You may be holy one moment, and you may be unholy the next. But sanctification has to do with spiritual maturity. It's growth. But sanctification means separation from the evil thing and the evil way. But it also means separation to God. It's from and to. Now, you can separate yourself from a lot of things, but you cannot separate yourself unto God. Only God can do that. Now, I want us to look at this thing of sovereignty, our sovereign grace, and by it, I do not mean predestination. Now, notice as we begin to look there, before I formed thee, I knew thee. Now, when you begin to go back in this thing and look at sanctification, you see, in sovereignty, it means that God is all-powerful. It means he's paramount. It means he's absolute. He's above and beyond everything else. And so he's telling Jeremiah, Jeremiah, don't whine and say you're a child and you can't do what I've called you to do. Don't you know that I knew you before I formed you? The thing I want you to see this evening is that, bless your heart, you're somebody extra special to God, whether you are to anybody else or not. The psalmist said, behold, I'm fearful and wonderfully made. And beloved, we can talk about television, we can talk about all of the great technology that we've got on this earth, but did you know above all else, you are extra special above every bit of it. And God made you. Now the three questions that's really bugging people in this world today are, where did I come from? Why am I here? And where am I going when I leave out? You know, you ever get these settled and you can enjoy the journey. So let's notice this thing of sanctification. Before I formed thee. Did you know you were formed by God? I mean, the creator of this universe formed you. And I want to tell you, when he formed you, he put everything in you you'd ever need. And there's no way under God we can go to him with an excuse. Why? Because when we begin to make excuses, we're trying to lay it on the creator. So let's notice, as we look at this thing of sanctification, let's look at the procreation. He says, before I formed thee, I knew thee. Now, when we go back in our Bibles, in Genesis 2:7, the Bible says that in the beginning, God took a handful of dust and he formed a body. And breathed into that body the breath of life. So there's no such thing as spiritual or physical life apart from God. And man became a living soul. Now, in that procreation, we've got the creature. And beloved, it was an immediate, and then immediate creation. It wasn't two. Eve was in Adam, because we find God made one. And then he divided and took a rib and made Eve to be his wife. So God made one and divided it into two. Now he mentions in Genesis 1:26 and 27 that when he let us make man in our image, and he made them male and female. So he separated Eve out of Adam. The Hebrew, it means an immediate and immediate creation. Then he takes these two, he had one and divided them into two, and then he brought them together in wedlock, and the two became one. And then he reaches and he takes a sperm from that man and separates it from him. And an egg from a woman. And when they come together, they become a living soul, a personality that is totally divided from the man and woman. And so at the moment of conception, you became a living soul. Now, our Supreme Court shouldn't have trouble deciding when does one become, where does life begin? At the moment of conception. Now, beloved, that man and that woman did not form that child. God did. He said, Jeremiah, I brought your mother and daddy together, but Jeremiah, I formed you. Before I formed you in the womb, yet we try to take so much credit on man. So as we begin to look there, we see in procreation, at conception, God formed you. Now, the Bible teaches in 1 Corinthians 15:10, I am what I am by the grace of God. You see, you didn't have anything to do with choosing whether you'd be a man or a woman. You didn't choose your sex. You didn't choose your color. You didn't choose the color of your eyes or your hair. You see, you are what you are by the grace of God, and God didn't ask you what you thought about it. Now, at that moment of conception, even the color of your hair or your eyes, all of that was determined. But not only that, you see, God did not let you choose your vocation of life. That was determined at conception too. And you see, all of those gifts were placed in you. And that mate for you in life, that's not your choosing, that's God. Now, if you want to make a mess of things, you try to run ahead of God. And so few of God's people have really found out, God, what did you put me down here for? No wonder they're not enjoying the journey. So you see, that separation becomes a personality. Now then, God initiated your birth. Sovereignty of God, and He didn't ask you if you wanted to be born. But that's where you came from. You came from God.
Amen.
Now, the second thing we need to look at in this is this prenatal sanctification. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And He says, before you came forth, I sanctified you. Before you was born. Prenatal means before birth. I sanctified you. Well, when you begin to go back in the 13th chapter of the book of Judges, as Dr. Lake had just preached on, you see, beloved, Samson's mother was barren. John the Baptist's mother was barren until God touched their womb, before I formed you. And you see, if God don't want to have them to have children, beloved, He can fix it where they can't have children. Prenatal sanctification. Before I formed you, I knew you. Paul mentions in Galatians 1:15, I was separated from my mother's womb to preach the gospel. So, fellas, we don't choose to preach. You see, if you're a preacher, you was called to preach before you came out of your mother's womb. And you see, all the gifts and the calling was before you came forth. The Bible teaches in Romans 11:29, the calling and the gifts are without repentance, and it doesn't have a thing to do with our repentance. Prenatal. All we'll ever need, all the gifts. Now then, beloved, every good gift and every perfect gift cometh down from the Father above. Now then, the good gift is salvation. A lot of good gifts you can't improve, but every perfect gift, these immature that we can perfect, we need to intellectualize and we need to get on the piano, learn music, if God's gifted you as a musician. You see, beloved, God gifts people for their vocation of life, and you need to find out what God has gifted you with and get to glorifying God with it. Sunday school teacher or what? Soul winner or what it is? God has gifted you and you are something extra special. You mean as much to God as Jeremiah did. Quit backing off and saying, I can't do anything. I'm not needed. Yes, you're as important as anybody in your city, county, country, or your church. And what an asset to God and what a help you're going to be to your minister when you get in your position and start performing for God. What a blessing and a strength. It's going to be to the church. And it's going to be to all of those around you. You know, every now and then you hear that song, He called me long before I heard. Well, you see, when I was formed in my mother's womb, that's when I was called to preach. While you're in your mother's womb, I sanctified you to be an evangelist. That's a long time before I got saved. You see, John the Baptist, Samson, Paul, they had to get saved later. But the calling came back there. And a lot of people get upset when some of us preachers get saved and go ahead preaching. Well, does the doctor have to quit doctoring when he gets saved? You see, the gifts and the calling was out repentance. And beloved, what was Paul doing and what was Nicodemus doing when they got saved? Even people can back off and see when God has gifted you in a certain way. And why should we have to quit preaching when we get saved? When we were doing what we'd been called before we came out of our mother's womb. Now, the next thing we want to look at, we've looked at procreation, we've looked at prenatal. In procreation, we have the creature, and in this prenatal, we have the calling. Mothers and dads do not decide whether their son or daughter preach. That was determined back in the council halls of God, his foreknowledge. And in that foreknowledge was all the gift and calling, the vocation. Folks, we're without excuse. You are something extra, special. God formed you. He made you. And God has a calling for you. And you need to find out what He has put you down here for. Now, the next that we want to look at is what we call preparatory sanctification. And preparatory sanctification is like conviction. Now, turn with me, if you will, in your Bible to 1 Peter, first chapter, in the second verse. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God. Not predestination, it said foreknowledge. Now, foreknowledge deals with the wisdom of God. The Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. There's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Now, you were in this world, and you were among a multitude of S-A-F-E, safe sinners. They were sinners at birth, not because of anything they did, but beloved, nobody's ever gone to hell for Adam's sin. You'll go to hell for your own sin. But then the Holy Spirit of God is going to come with conviction, where He's going to bring you to a knowledge of what's wrong with you and what needs to be done about it. And when He does, He's going to separate you from a saved sinner. That moment, you're going to become a lost sinner. You're separated from the saved. Now then, you're in that category of the lost. Say that you were a guard and a tower and a penitentiary. And there were 1,000 prisoners running around in there. And all of a sudden, you just put a spotlight and you just took it and you put it on Brother Douglas. You see, you're not concerned with the 999, just Him. He is set aside. He's set apart from all the others. Now that He can come to you and live, or He can run and die. You see, I do not believe that people are lost when they come into the world. I don't believe the Bible teaches it. But when the Holy Spirit of God comes with conviction and you rebel against that life, that's when you become a lost sinner. You see, if I believed in predestination like some teach it, that you're predestined to heaven or hell before you ever get here, then, beloved, I'd have to believe that you're lost before you ever came in the world. But it just don't line up with Scripture. You see, this thing of predestination deals with a Savior, deals with a church, deals with a nation, deals with a saint, deals with sanctification, never with a sin or a sinner. You read your Bible. Ephesians, it's dealing with the church. Romans, the 9th through the 11th chapters, it's dealing with the church and with the nation. When you deal with Esau and Jacob, it was the troublesome twins. It was two nations in that woman's womb, not individually deal with. He was dealing with the predestination of nations. Now, beloved, I am a lily man. I'm not a tulip. I believe he's the lily of the valley. I believe that God initiates every birth. I believe that God initiates every calling. I believe that God initiates all conviction, but then, beloved, you've got a will that He placed in there. When you became a soul, you've got to respond. God says, I formed you, and when you came forth from the womb, now then the responsibility is on you, whether you're going to accept His salvation, and whether you're going to serve Me and do what I put you down here to do. You see, when He made Adam and Eve, when He made man a living soul, He placed in that soul the power of choice or decision that we call the will. When God comes with conviction, I do not believe in irresistible grace, because I've dealt with too many I've seen run, and I was one of them that wanted to run. I got saved after 10 years college and seminary, then 10 years preaching before I got saved. I'm not preaching you out of somebody else's book. I'm preaching about where I've been. Something I've experienced. So you see, there's that preparatory sanctification where God is going to separate you and bring you under conviction. And beloved, that moment when you're going to rebel, that's when you become a lost sinner. And the responsibility is on you. Had you died before then, the Lord would have carried you on to glory. Preparatory sanctification. Now, He deals with this thing of preparatory sanctification in another portion. Turn with me, if you will, to the 1 Corinthians, the 7th chapter. There I want to begin reading with the 12th verse. But to the rest speak I, not the Lord. If any brother hath a wife that believeth not, and she be pleased to dwell with him, let him not put her away. And the woman who hath an husband that believeth not, and if he be pleased to dwell with her, let her not leave him. For the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife, and the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband. Else were their children unclean, but now they are holy. Now here he's taking a picture of two people that get married. Both of them were lost. And either the husband or the wife gets saved. And he's saying, don't you run and don't you leave that husband and wife and those children. Because God lives in you, and this is going to be the preparatory sanctification. Yours is going to be a holy home in the presence of God, and you're going to give me a chance to do this work of conviction in their lives. Don't run. Preparatory sanctification. Yes, he's lost. Yes, the children are lost. But I'm going to let my light be shown through your love and kindness and understanding. Don't run. Let me just give an example of this. I was in a church recently. Dealt with a beautiful young lady. She'd left a husband and two children. I mean a lost husband. And she was saved and living in sin. And when she got right with God, she got away from that man. And then Sunday night, closing that meeting, she's sitting on the front row with that lost husband. Preparatory sanctification. God can use you as a brother or sister or an in-law. Be sure you don't run or you don't be a stumbling block, that God can use you as a stepping stone to bring them under conviction and bring them to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Don't say, well, they're just not going to accept the law. Preparatory sanctification. Conviction. What does it do? It separates one from being a safe sinner to a lost sinner. Now, then God initiated your conviction. You didn't. And He didn't ask you whether you wanted Him to convict you or not. Well, He didn't have to ask your permission. He's sovereign. But I don't believe there's ever been a person that graced the face of God's earth with reasonable exercise of mind that the Holy Ghost of God hadn't dealt with them as they crossed the stage of life. I don't believe there's a person in hell that wasn't brought under conviction and refused to repent, and they didn't accept their responsibility is the reason they went to hell. It wasn't God's fault. It's not God's will that any perish. You see, beloved, if I believed in predestination, I'd have to believe in universal salvation. Because it didn't God's will that any perish. So we look at that thing of preparatory sanctification, which deals with conviction. God initiates conversion. And beloved, some of you this week, He's going to strike you and He's going to ask your permission. And you're going to want to run and leave these campgrounds. Sure you are. There's some preachers now probably troubled about this thing. I'll tell you, when God gets to deal with you, you will be in trouble. But after He convicts you, He's going to back off. He ain't going to force you into heaven. And you've got a will you're going to have to exercise. You see, it's God's initiation, but it's our responsibility. God has placed the power of choice in you. It's a will, and that's the reason of the judgment. You're going to answer to God how you exercise that will. You're not going to push this thing off on God. Now, the next step is what we call positional sanctification, which is conversion. When you receive Jesus Christ as Savior, then the Spirit of the living God places you in the body of Christ. And He doesn't ask you, do you want to preach or teach? You see, He initiates what He wants you to do. And the calling was back there from the conception. We don't decide what we're going to do in the church. That's the reason we're in trouble now. A lot of people are out of their stall. You see, we're going to have to be in the church and in the place where God wants us, and we're going to have to get in our place in the home. God didn't ask you whether you wanted to be a husband or wife. Now, God initiates it. Now, then, it's our responsibility. Are we going to respond and be what God saved us to be? He said He set them in the church, and the calling and the gift was in them. And beloved, when we answer that call and get to the place, we're not going to be doing anything else that somebody else is supposed to do. But if we don't do it, it's going to be left undone because nobody else can do it for us. Now, in that positional sanctification, that's going to separate you from the penalty of sin. But at the moment that you get saved, then you start that progressive sanctification, which is a continuous work where God is going to be seeking to separate you from sin, but also to conform you to the image of His Son. And He's going to carry you all the way through the graveyard if He tarries to make you exactly like Jesus. You see, there's no backing out. No backing out. This is what we call progressive separation. It gives us power over sin. But yet that's the last thing some of us want. And it's the main thing we need. Because all of the misery and the fear and the frustration and the worry and confusion is because we won't let God separate us from the power of sin. Sin overpowering us, having authority over us. Taking away from us that rest and peace and liberty and freedom that we're trying to get other ways and yet it doesn't work. And then lastly, prospective sanctification has to deal with the consummation. He mentions in 1 John 3:2, one of these days, when He appears, you're going to be just exactly like Him, Brother Charles. Just exactly like Him. Why? He's finishing what He started back there at the moment of conception. You see, beloved, I believe that every bit of it is the initiation of God, the sovereignty of God. But then, God placed a will in our breast, and here's where our trouble is here today. We're rebelling in our wills against doing and being what God has convicted, converted, and saved us to be. Some of you are wanting answers about certain things in your family or your job. Why don't you let go and let God be God and let Him get you in place and in position? Why don't you let Him do for you what He's just wanting to do and what these preachers will be begging and pleading with you to let God do? You see, the Bible teaches full sanctification. 1 Thessalonians 5:23, and I pray the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, W-H-O-L-Y. Your whole soul, your whole spirit, your whole body. Now, the Bible teaches there in 1 Thessalonians 4:3 that it's the will of God that you be sanctified. You can't be in the will of God without sanctification. The Bible teaches in 1 Thessalonians 5:24 that it's the work of God, faithful to He who's called you, who will also do it. And then we notice in John 17:17, sanctify them through thy truth. You see, it's done through the Word of God. Now you know where you came from, don't you? Amen? Do you know why you're here? Some of you here at Camp Zion this week so that God, through His power, can get you into position in the place you are to be. In your home, on the job, and in your church. So you can really enjoy the things of God. I'm going to ask at this time, if Sister Margaret Chapman is in the audience, that she'll come and sing, He Lifted Me. I was just an old sinner. Spirit of God got me under conviction and drew me and saved me. I mean, I was preaching to me. And even bought me a bottle of vitamin pills. I was sick. I was under Holy Ghost conviction. Some of you know what I'm talking about. But I'm so thankful that the Lord got me under conviction. I didn't get myself under conviction, because I wouldn't have done it that way. Yet to some of you, the Lord's dealt with, and you've never yielded to be exactly what God wanted you to be. We'll ask if you bow your heads. As they play softly, the altar be open.